Hey guys, my name is Alex, and you're listening to the Thousand Movie Project podcast. One night last week, during the last hour of my shift at the grocery store, an hour when there's always a rush of customers trying to get in right before the doors close, I noticed that the average customer I was helping was a little bit angrier than usual. And they manifest this in very textbook ways. They refuse eye contact, they stay silent in response to every, hi, how are you, what's going on today, how was your day? And also at the end of every transaction, there are certain niceties we're supposed to offer, well wishes and shit like that. And there's a certain genus of late night grocery store customer that seems to take like a sort of moral gratification in responding to these with just a curt shake of the head. One thing you'll notice ringing people up at a grocery store late at night is that shoppers at that hour tend to be buying meals for one. They tend to show up either in work clothes or pajamas, and you'll notice too that they're almost never buying ingredients to prepare a dish. They're buying ready-made meals, frozen or not, snacks and drinks and desserts. Almost exactly half of the store's gross is earned in the last 3 hours of the day. Half of that half is generated in the last hour. We also sell more alcohol and candy in that hour than any other time of the day. I turned and I mentioned to the colleague working the register behind me that the customers threading through my line were like conspicuously unhappy, like way more so than usual. And she gave me this conspiratorial look. I've been noticing the same thing, and you know what I think it is? It's the eclipse. This was Friday night, and she was referring to the total eclipse that would take place on Monday afternoon, which I learned that week is apparently a very different thing from the partial eclipses that we tend to spot with a little more regularity. Here's a passage from Rivka Galchin's New Yorker piece about total eclipses. It's a cool thing to see, and it maybe hints at human vulnerability, the weirdness of light, the scale and reality of the world beyond our planet. When the moon occludes the whole of the sun, everyday expectations collapse. The temperature quickly drops, the colors of shadows become tinny, day flips into darkness, stars precipitously appear, birds stop chirping, bees head back to their hives, hippos come out for their nightly grazing, and humans shout or hide or study, or they pray or take measurements until, seconds or minutes later, sunlight and the whole familiar world abruptly returns. I get anxious whenever I'm looking at something special like this that only happens once every so many years. And that anxiety is similar to what I feel whenever I visit an art museum. Like, I walk in, I pay some money, and then I go around and I look at the art and I try to make sense of it. And then eventually, kind of just at a random point, I leave. And once I've left, I start, like, telling myself that it was a way more profound experience than it felt like at the time, and maybe that's a capitalism thing. Like, I have a hard time confirming for myself that I just had an experience unless I have something to show for it. A few years ago, I went to the PAM Museum in downtown Miami, and the only piece that I remember from that particular exhibit is that they had a wall of sunsets. So the wall was maybe 20 feet high and 20 feet wide. The artist had printed out and pasted up something like 3,000 of them. The artist got all of these photos from strangers all around the country, but there was some criteria for the submission. The photos had to have been taken on your cell phone, and they had to be photos of sunsets that you had already taken. You couldn't see this invitation and then wait for sunset and take a photo from that night. They had to be long ago sunsets. What this wall of old sunsets was saying was, look at how many of us, without realizing it, have tried to capture this thing that happens every night. We saw that it was staggering and beautiful, and we took photos thinking that there would somehow be a shortage of sunsets going forward. And odds are, you probably didn't even know you had these photos on your phone. So completely had you forgotten them once you had captured it and put it in your pocket. One of my colleagues, we'll call her Gretchen because she's the most Gretchen person I've ever met. She's in her early 80s and she used to be a dancer. When we were working cash registers that were side by side, I've told this story on the podcast. Gretchen said,
I gotta get a haircut. I might go this week.
And I said, cool. And then Gretchen said,
there's a full moon tonight.
And I said, cool. That didn't feel like enough. So I was like, do you think you can get an appointment tonight? And Gretchen almost like recoiled.
Can't get a haircut during a full moon.
And I said, why not? And she said,
are you kidding me?
And then she walked away from the register and did not come back. Maria and I recently watched a monologue from an old episode of John Oliver on Last Week Tonight. The whole episode was about psychics and fortune tellers, how they're all scam artists. The monologue was funny, but it was also a bit of a bummer because I kind of want to believe in psychics. I think it's that whenever things get like terrifyingly ambiguous and uncertain, I like this idea that in the event I get really stressed out and I just can't stand waiting to know how things are going to turn out, I can, if I want, just hand $100 over to some woman with wooden jewelry and she will tell me how things are going to turn out. And even though he's given me a bunch of examples and explanations of why they're full of shit, part of me is still tucking away this idea that, well, I mean, you can always still go to one. It's my older colleagues at the grocery store who tend to tell me with the most certainty about the restorative powers of crystals and acupuncture, how your bad hip or your bad knee is a consequence of misaligned chakras. One of my colleagues who survived a prolonged cancer treatment in 2005 told me that Jesus gave her the health scare so that she would open her heart to him. I wanted to ask her, like, couldn't he have just knocked? But I only said that in my mind. One time I was bagging groceries while my manager was ringing up customers, and this guy came into the line who was looking kind of jaundiced and, like, angular and frail, and he said hello to us right away. And without any kind of preamble or questions, he just started talking about his chemotherapy and how he was changing his diet to accommodate it. He dove into the topic like somebody who knows what he looks like, and he doesn't want anybody to feel uncomfortable about talking past it. And so this manager I was with, who has since gone to another store, he listened to all of this guy's woes, and then he observed with like a very sympathetic, pitying shake of his head, brother, I gotta tell you, there's a spiritual answer for everything. And he proceeded, while ringing up this man's groceries, to explain that chemotherapy was nothing next to the power of prayer. When the transaction was over, I ended up walking that man to his car because he'd bought a bunch of cases of water and he needed help getting them into his trunk. When we got into the elevator and the doors had closed, I immediately apologized for what my colleague had said, but he just laughed about it. And he said, man, at this point, I like it. I like hearing it. Turns out he had been a TV meteorologist in Spain for almost 30 years before he retired and moved to Miami 8 or 9 months ago. He said that he was down here living the good life for about 2 weeks when suddenly his bowel movements got really strained and skinny and bloody. We got to the second floor of the parking garage and he led me out of the elevator, limping, over toward his Jaguar in the corner. He popped the trunk and stood by on his cane while I loaded 4 cases of bottled water into the car, and he told me about some of the cures that people have suggested to him in the few weeks that he's been down here. Crystal therapy, coffee enemas. And I told him as I was putting water in his trunk, like, I knew there's a sort of new agey, holistic vibe out here on the beach, but I didn't think there were that many assholes. And he frowned when I said that, and he did a little chop through the air, like he didn't want me to get the wrong impression. And he said, it's none of it is coming from a bad place. And then he shut the trunk and he said, we're all just trying to live.